Welcome to this episode of That's What She Said. If you hear any sort of exhaustion in my voice, it's just that it's snowing on the first day of spring here in the United States. I am watching snow fall outside my window, and my daffodils are like, hold, keep holding. It's like Braveheart out there. They won't stop holding because the snow is not stopping, and they're not going to just come sprouting out to be ruined by snow. So other than that, life is good. And I was at a conference last week. And can I say that it was beautiful to have this moment when I asked everyone to turn their phones off. And they did. And then I said, please don't just turn them off. Put them away, like off of your physical person and in a pouch or bag or under your chair, somewhere where they're not visible to you or to anyone else. And it was amazing how the level of attention in the room, you could feel it go up because like, well, I mean, if I'm going to be shamed for checking Facebook and no one else has their phone available, then I'm just going to go ahead and pay attention. It was fantastic. It should also be noted that even after I'd asked everyone in the room to turn their phone off, lots of people didn't. And during the meditation part of the speech, I was interrupted multiple times by phone ringtones and buzzes. And then everyone's lying down in the room, and so there's that awkward, should we just let it ring? Or should we acknowledge that there's a phone going off and then somebody has to go get it? And it was strange. So I want to talk about phones, and I want to talk specifically about phones at this moment because phones are where we hide. Phones are where we pretend that we're doing self-care, but we're really just watching Netflix for 14 hours a day. Phones are in the physical world where we have this fantastic excuse to completely tap out of life and go into our phones. Because if you can't be in your phone, you have to be here. And we want you here, but most people, it seems, do not want to be here. And this is not a Kristen gets on her high horse. This is not a Kristen has no science to back this. Like, for once, I'm like, please don't take my word for it. Go and Google things. Go and Google all the things about smartphones and what they do to your brain, because it's horrifying. We are now up to about 5 hours on average that a smartphone user is on their device. And that's intense. 5 hours. You have an 8-hour workday, 5 hours on your phone. That leaves you 3 hours to do not screen related things in your day if you get 8 hours of sleep. That's horrifying to me because I miss humans. I miss humans who make eye contact. I miss eye contact. I miss talking with people. I miss all of those things that at the conference, because I had made a space for it and I had said, like, I dare you to not ask boring questions. I dare you to skip small talk. I dare you to not check your phone. All of those things set up the conference to be like, oh, yes, let's do those things. It's permission giving. But in real life, where I am not a keynote speaker, that does not happen nearly as often. So I want to hit you with some science so that you have a reason. And then we can go back and talk about phones and how to make a little bit of space from them and what could be really going on with the phone and how to have better boundaries around your phone. And I'm keeping this physical world because until the pink flowers come out and until the daffodils blossom and until all of nature is not just in a hold pattern, we're sticking to physical world here because metaphysical is just too much right now. So from Wall Street Journal's How Smartphones Hijack Our Minds article, this is a direct quote. Integration of smartphones into daily life appears to have caused a brain drain that can diminish such vital mental skills as learning, logical reasoning, abstract thought, problem solving, and creativity. Smartphones have become so entangled with our existence that even when we're not peering or pawing at them, they tug at our attention, diverting precious cognitive resources. Just suppressing the desire to check our phone, which we do routinely and subconsciously throughout the day, can debilitate our thinking. The fact that most of us now habitually keep our phones nearby and in sight, the researchers noted, only magnifies the mental toll. So as you know, or maybe not, I'll just refresh your memory, my thyroid shit the bed last year. And part of what comes with your thyroid just being like, I'm out, I'm not going to function anymore, is weight gain, is depression, but is also cloudier mental thought. and words being misspelled, where I would never misspell words ever. And you could hate me for that, that's fine. But if you have that and then it just goes, it's not a symptom that's strong enough to be like, I have to go to the doctor and be like, sometimes I don't spell words right. They'll be like, yeah, you're getting older, whatever. I'm like, no, it's not that. It doesn't feel like that. So part of it is my thyroid is causing muddier brain issues. But my phone could also be contributing to that because I have a smartphone and I use it on the daily. So I'm playing a lot more with very strict boundaries around the phone. And that has been really, really interesting. And my research has led me to good places. And I wanted to share some of those with you. So I'm really good at phone boundaries. And what I mean by really good at is that most people use it for 5 hours a day. I'm typically under an hour a day. And that includes Netflix, that includes doing my yoga, my Kodi app, that includes breathwork. That does not include Waze, because Waze counts officially in the, if you're tracking as time that you're using your phone. But really, I'm just not getting lost. I'm not like watching my phone for every second as it's directing me. Anyway, neither here nor there. Most people don't seem to have good phone boundaries. And that has something to do with the physical world and just like put it down. Something to do with these things are designed to keep you addicted and to get you all sorts of like, basically it's like a hit of crack cocaine every time a text message arrives. And they're meant to keep everything about your life shallow because you can't go deep into your work. Like if you just leave your phone somewhere and go deep into 5 hours of work offline, you can't go as deep by definition if your phone is in the room. Which is horrifying, guys, but it's also true. So before we can make any sort of good phone boundaries, can we talk about the thing behind the thing, which might be the reason that you're picking up the phone? The first thing is that the more out of habit you are with going into your own interiors and noticing what's going on within yourself, the more likely you are to use your phone to numb out because you don't want to go into contact with whatever is there. I get that, but that's also a very, very dangerous cycle. So if you normally you go 2 feet in and then like that's too much, so you go 18 inches in and then 12 inches in and then 6 inches in and then eventually you're just scrolling on Instagram for every moment that you are awake and not otherwise occupied. That does bad things to your brain because science. This is all the Googleable science. Like science so has me here. You don't even have to go Google, but if you do go down the rabbit hole, it's just going to get worse than what I'm saying, I promise. So the first thing is, what if you can be okay with being with your thoughts, being with yourself, and that means be okay with being bored. Sometimes, if you don't have a phone, you will be standing in a checkout line, you will be bored. You will be waiting to pay for something, you will be bored. You will be shopping, you will be bored. You'll be driving, you'll be bored. It's okay to be bored. Nothing is going to hurt you or harm you just because you're bored. We're treating bored like it's some sort of disease that we have to battle constantly in every moment of every day. And God knows Netflix, Hulu, and YouTube are more than enough to keep you not bored from now until the moment that you die and you still wouldn't have watched everything. So can you be okay with being bored? And can you be okay with acknowledging whatever is in your interior continent and facing it? And then can you recognize your FOMO? So FOMO is fear of missing out, which is this feeling like, oh my God, somebody else is doing something interesting somewhere else. Yes, that's happening every moment of every day for all of time and all of eternity. And it has been for millennia. It's just that we haven't always been aware of it. You are never going to catch up on media, books, music, news, or because you keep wearing clothing, laundry. Like, it's just going to be this cycle that there's always new, there's always more, there's always new, there's always more. And it's being produced at such alarming rates that you can physically never, ever, ever keep up, even if all you do is dedicate the rest of your life to consuming music or consuming books or consuming news. The good news is that's okay. That means that you get to be in charge of your time and that you're never going to catch up, so you don't have to try and catch up. If you're just like, okay, so I'm running a marathon and I'm running it against the fastest person in the world, you know what? I'm gonna have a snack. Like if there's no chance, then you can relax into, okay, well then I'm going to enjoy my life because I'm never going to be a gold medal 100 meter sprinter, and that's okay. That's not in my wheelhouse. So can you be okay with being bored, which really means dealing with whatever's going on in your interiors? Can you recognize that you are never going to catch up ever, and that's okay? So can you just sort of give up on FOMO? And then can you create a life-giving routine that does not involve your phone being near you or being in the room? So even just the phone being in the room brings down your cognitive skills. I believe it's by about 20%. You're like, that sounds crazy. I know. It's just this stupid little device, but it's also, if that's what it's doing to your brain, and you can be conscious of that and know it, then can you begin to put physical space between you and your phone, even if it's for 20 minutes at a time? So create a life-giving routine that doesn't involve your phone. Doesn't mean turn your phone off for 48 hours and then just hope it's everything's okay when the weekend's over. That's fantastic. I love that idea. But that's not realistic for most people that are still in the, like, I check my phone at least 3 times an hour, every hour, except when I'm asleep. So what is a life-giving routine that does not involve your phone being near you, on you, or in the room? I'll give you some examples. One is take a bath or go swimming or do something that puts you in a body of water that does not involve your phone. Because phones plus water are not a good idea. And the day that phones are completely ocean-proof, I will weep because there will be people taking selfies in the ocean, not just on the shore. You can also take a walk, like just take a walk. You don't have to have a device. You don't have to have earbuds or earphones. You don't have to listen to podcasts while you do it. You can take a walk. You can sit in a room, like just sit, stare out the window. You can do absolutely nothing. You can do any sort of movement that you would like. You can go to a class with movement. So you can go to yoga class and to and from yoga class, you don't have your phone. That creates hours at a stretch without a phone. That's a beautiful thing. You can be like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to read a book instead of touching my phone. And then I'm going to go about my day. Or I'm going to do whatever it is in the morning that has to be done in order to take care of my family. And then I'm going to have 20 minutes to do X, Y, or Z. And that can be anything that's not involving your phone. So it could be movement. It could be putting on your makeup really slowly. It could be reading a book. It could be listening to music, listening to a record in particular, because that will not involve your phone. Whatever it is that you decide is life-giving, even if it's just, I'm going to sit down and journal for 20 minutes or write a note to myself or write my to-do list, even if it's related to work, it doesn't matter. It's just, is it analog? Is it physical? And is it in the physical world? And does it not involve your phone? Fantastic. Let's begin there. So be okay with being bored, give up on FOMO, and make a routine. It's 20 minutes, it's away from your phone, and that begins to break the tether that keeps you and your phone always, always, always in the same room. So it's a very small step, and that's a fantastic thing. The life-giving routine can also be when your partner or your family members get home, phones are put in a different room, and then you have a meal together with phones in a different room. That's magnificent. That totally counts. And then when it comes to breaking up with your phone, physical world strategies that you have to do instead of just thinking about them or listening to them, there are a couple of those that are pretty simple. It doesn't mean they're easy. It means they're simple. The first is to have on and off times for your phone, meaning that you have do not disturb hours or that you have separated from my phone hours. So if you know that from 10:30 to 11:30, you do your best work, from 10:30 to 11:30, can you put the phone in another room and then go do your work? And so that's your like sacred do not disturb time. Can you make a habit of keeping phones in another room? So you keep the phones in the living room when you're in the bedroom, and you keep them in the bathroom when you're in the living room. Like you can move them around. You can put them in a space in your home that isn't typically used. Whatever it is, you can have a pouch for them. Can you keep them somewhere else that is away And then can you make that a habit? Even if it's for half an hour at a time, having phones away is healthy, is productive, is reclaiming your brain, reclaiming the parts of your brain that are like, fuck it, I'm not going to remember how to spell words anymore. That's stupid, right? It becomes a matter of health at some point here. And the third thing you can do is you can turn off all phone notifications, all app notifications, in particular things like Instagram. Do you need to know and have your phone buzz every time someone likes your Instagram? No. Here's why. It takes 22 minutes to recover from a notification and go back into whatever you were in the first place. 22 minutes. So if you get 3 notifications an hour, you are literally never going into deep work. You're never going into flow. You're never going into that elusive state where things come easily and quickly to you. You physically can't, because it takes 20 minutes to get back into it, 22 minutes to come back into it after you're done. So for once, this is not just deep wisdom. This is fucking science, and it's terrifying. So can you stick with me here that you have on and off times for your phone? You have do not disturb hours that you make up and then you hold. That you keep phones in another room for at least half an hour, and that you turn off all notifications. Does that include phone? It can. You can also just put it on do not disturb and then only allow favorites through. So anybody you're expecting a call from, put on favorites, let them through. Anybody that you adore, put on favorites, let them through. Everybody else is a no. You can also let your text messages not make your phone even buzz. That they come in. When you check your phone, you will have those text messages. Otherwise, you don't need them. When you turn off your notifications, you realize how frequently you were checking that you're not anymore. And it's amazing. And when people's phones have noises and sounds and dings, you're like, what the fuck are you doing? And why would you do that to yourself? Because it's horrifying. Because it's been proven as well that it's not just me and my phone that I respond to, because it's just a generic Apple, bzz, bzz, whatever. I respond to that anywhere I am as if it is my phone, which means that same stress response / cortisol release happens regardless of whether it's your phone, my phone, our phone, someone else's phone. So it's also a matter of tremendous respect to not have notifications and dings and dongs and boops and beeps and all those sorts of things, that you can turn off your notifications, turn off your ringtones, turn off your buzzing, turn off all of it, and live with a silent phone. It's magnificent to live with a silent phone. I can't even tell you. And it doesn't mean I don't check my texts. It doesn't mean I don't check my emails or my phone messages. It just means that when I check them, it's when I want to check them, instead of like, well, I don't know, somebody liked my Instagram at 3:00 in the morning. I need to check that. I don't. You don't. This is boundaries around phone. And those are really simple things. On off times, phone's in another room. Turn off all notifications. And don't just listen to me, because if you're like, Kristen, I listen to you and that sounds... No, do it first, and then you can weigh in on how it feels and what it feels like and all that good stuff. Because ultimately, you deserve space. You deserve space to feel things and know things and do things. You deserve space to be, space to create, space to make, space to do your work. And that's work like creative work. That's work like you go to a job and work. You deserve space. You don't have to feel like your insides are being all trash compacted because you're just constantly in this state of phone-iness. See what I did there? The good news is you deserve it. You can make space. That space can feed you. And ultimately, what you make space for can make you far more productive. So when I make time to do my breath work and to do my yoga and to otherwise take really good care of myself, it is far easier for me to be productive than if I just like spent all of my time focused on screen work and then moved from my laptop to my phone, and that was all that happened. Just screen, 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 phone. So if you're like, this, I have to be productive. Do you? Do you have to check your emails at 2 a.m.? Because I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt with all the love in the world that you are that important and that something at 2 a.m. can't wait until you're awake in the morning and on the next workday. And I could be wrong. But that's my sense, is that the vast majority of people are not in that like 1% of fire putter outers in the world, and that checking your email on the regular and having boundaries around, okay, I'm not going to get a notification every time I get a new email. Having a boundary around that means that it's much easier to actually live your life. That's how you break up with your phone. I say all of this because I made you a thing. The thing I made you is called Space. And Space is for kicking the phone habit and for breaking your addiction to being busy with a capital B, starting with your phone. So all of the things that I find like valuable and useful in life and that have really revolutionized the way that I exist require space, because there's depth there. And depth, whether it's personal, professional, emotional, or spiritual, is going to need space. Space to think, space to breathe, space to take care of yourself, space to be, sometimes space to be bored. That's important. So Space is a series of 21 emails, so sent one a day over 21 days, that have simple tasks meant to help you regain at least 2 hours of looking up from your phone life per day. To say that again, 2 hours of not looking at your phone can be regained every single day when you do the tasks that are in Space. Okay, so you can check that out at kristenkelp.com/space. It's all about the actions. They're simple but not easy, but they are actions. You get a task via email, because I don't want you to have to log in and then watch a video and then do a worksheet. And then, no, I want you to read the email, do the thing, and you're done for the day. Because screens, I don't particularly want you to spend more time with your screens. And I want to be able to send you GIFs, to be very frank. And so GIFs are important to me, and they come via email. That's how it works. You can check out that whole dealio at kristenkelp.com/space. Very creative. I know. So you can make some space. You can reclaim some space. You can draw boundaries around your time. You can break up with your phone, and you can do really, really amazing work and feel way less fucking stressed about your life by virtue of taking the class. It starts April 2nd, which is soon. So go take a look. Hop in the program. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to do it. It's going to be really, really fun. And I can't wait for you to come back to the place where you are free of your phone, where you choose to use it, which is beautiful, but it's no longer a detriment to your brain, your work, your intelligence, your loved ones, your own interiors, and to facing whatever it is that you need to face in this lifetime. So if you want to change some habits, get really comfortable with FOMO, hit it up, kristenkelp.com/space, and I will see you in there. Thanks so much. There's a few subway tokens, no.